The races for state's attorneys general also raked in quite a lot of money this election season. Estimates are $100 million. And the reason these races drew so much dollar power?
You can't sue the federal government directly. So this makes the AGs a funnel for all national organizations who have issues with whomever is the president and the president's administration.
That's James Tierney. He served as the Attorney General of Maine from 1980 to 1990. And since Donald Trump took office, state's attorneys general have been on the front line of taking on the administration. They've sued over withholding of health care subsidies offered under the Affordable Care Act. They sued over the Muslim ban, family separation, access to contraceptives, and a slew of environmental regulations. And following the midterm elections, Democrats picked up four more attorney general seats, making their total 27 of the nation's 51 offices. And that means we could see a lot more activity from this group opposing action out of the White House. But how did it get this way? With state's attorney general given the power to sue the federal administration? James Tierney explains.
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court in 2006 gave the states the special right to sue the federal government when other organizations can't. But the real reason it's happening is because of the integration of our economy. All of us buy things on the internet, right? So this means that even the smallest state attorney general has jurisdiction over some pretty big corporations. And then when you have the overall coarsening of our political environment where, you know, everybody goes to ground, the Republicans and Democrats, then you get the hostility against whatever administration's in power, and it gets a lot of national attention.
How much attention, then, are these normally what I think of as low-key offices getting from national donors? Are they getting as much attention, as much money as, say, governors or senators?
Well, some of us have thought AGs were important for a long time. you remember the tobacco cases were brought and started by the small state of Mississippi. So that was a classic example of a small state being overlooked by gigantic interest groups. No one is overlooking attorneys general today. And so as a result, there are massive amounts of money in our Citizens United world that are flowing into AG races.
Do we know how voters in states are reacting to this? Again, there was a time in which I think most people expected that their state attorney general would be sort of the top lawyer for their state, not someone who was going to be active in sort of the national picture. Is that changing?
It's very interesting. There's no question that the legal community and the business community and the advocacy community have changed their views about attorneys general. But if you're talking about the average person, not so much. And as long as the attorney general is doing a good job on their day-to-day work, not their big national work, but their day-to-day work, defending the state, making sure that state agencies operate in a legal fashion, I don't think they notice. So attorneys general almost always get reelected. It's very rare that an incumbent's defeated, short of a scandal. There was one incumbent defeated this year, that's all, in Wisconsin. All the other incumbents in both political parties were reelected.
And yet Democrats did pick up a number of AG offices. They must have been in places where there were open seats. Can you talk about any of those?
It was a good day for the Democrats in 2018 when it comes to attorneys general. The Democrats picked up four seats, Nevada, Colorado, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And especially focusing on Colorado and Wisconsin, those are very sophisticated offices, and I think you'll see a real step up of activity. In Minnesota, Congressman Keith Ellison became the attorney general, and there's no question that there will be a great deal more activism coming out of the state of Minnesota. So if you're looking for more blue state activism, the voters gave that a very big green light.
Where do you think this activism will be focused most specifically?
Well, I think in two categories. I think the blue AGs will continue to, fight back against President Trump, and the red state AGs will continue to defend him. But I also think you'll see a big step up in civil rights and consumer protection. The blue state AGs are significantly increasing the size of their staffs. States such as New Jersey and Washington, along with California and New York, have really added on staff to do consumer protection and affirmative litigation, including environment. But they also the quality of the staff is very high. A lot of young lawyers who perhaps in the past would have wanted to work for the Department of Justice are saying, you know, I can lead a better life and I can do more good if I go back home. And I see my students very anxious to work in AG offices that are increasingly competitive.
And is there a particular topic? You've talked about the environment a lot. Do you think that's a topic in which we're going to see blue state AGs sort of bond together and bring up more lawsuits against this administration?
Well, the blue state AGs are already challenging. They challenge just about everything their former colleague Scott Pruitt tried to do. So there are dozens and dozens of environmental administrative law cases. But I am personally more hopeful that the attorneys general focus on the actual environmental degradation in their own state. Because as the federal government walks away from clean water and clean air, it's up to the attorney general to say, you know, people want clean water. They want clean air. And I would hope the state AGs would not just focus their energies on suing the president. I do know the new attorney general of Michigan is very focused on in-state environmental issues. Same in Minnesota. They're worried about their lake quality. And they can't go to the federal government for protection anymore. So they're going to have to do it.
Now, there are associations for each one of the party attorneys general. There's a Republican group and there's a Democratic group. Are they also becoming more active in helping to sort of shape the focus? And are these groups then helping to organize these battles?
Well, they are both an asset and a liability to every attorney general. Because the races are so expensive, no attorney general can run their races only with money that they raise within their own state. So because they're national offices, they have to turn to their national organizations to raise money, and that becomes an asset. Now, having said that, are they a potential problem? Absolutely, because people who give money usually want something back. And so they provide pressure points through these two organizations, the Republican and Democratic AGs associations, to get access to try to persuade their attorneys general to do something or in some cases not do something. But it's something that requires careful monitoring and transparency. And I've always argued that substantive legal decisions should never be made at a Republican or Democratic AGs meeting. You don't care whether you have a Republican or Democratic attorney general if you can't drink your drinking water, right? You want the problem solved.
So do you think that the attorneys general of this era compared to your era, they are much more focused on their national profile?
Well, they're focused on national issues because we all are. We can't sit down and buy a Christmas present without going on the internet, and that makes us national players. So they are focused on that because that's how American consumers live their lives now. We don't go down to the corner pharmacy, and if we do, the former pharmacy is probably Walmart. So we're all playing in a national field, and so the AGs should pay attention to that.
Jim Tierney, it's been great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
James Tierney is the former Attorney General for Maine and founder of stateag.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.